Hallelujah. Whoa, glory to God. Amen? The Lord is always present. Always present. Always present. Present to heal, present to deliver, present to provide, present to protect. Always present. It's necessary for us to be aware of that. And then to praise Him and give Him thanks for that. Because He's always present. Lord, You are always present. We can't forget that the Lord is always present. How could we forget that the Lord is always present? I don't know. But we do. At least we act like we do. That's not any condemnation on anybody. That's just simply to say, let's be reminded. Let's remind ourselves. David would remind himself. Just like it said that the people who choose to be in misery, rebel against the Word of God. That's the Word of God. That's what it says. It just flat says that. So, let's remind ourselves that that's what it says. That those who choose to remain in misery, rebel against the Word of God. Rebel against the Word of God. We wouldn't ever do that, would we? Not knowingly, but now we will. If we do it, we'll do it knowingly, because now the Spirit of God has pointed it out to us. So that we can be walking along, rebelling against the Word of God, and we'll hear the Holy Spirit say, "Busted." That's why sometimes people stay away from the Word of God. Or brush off the Word of God. Because if they take it in, they're responsible for it. So it's easier to skim. It's easier to come and to hear the Word of God and to say, "Well, that was just Roger. Or that was just Bernie. Or that was just Mary. They were just saying things," than it is to say, "That was God. That was God, and God was speaking to me, and it's time I quit ignoring God." God says, "Let all the people praise Him," and people say, "Well, I'm just not that way." Gee, that's stupid. Get that way. I'm sorry. Get that way. A lot of people come into the kingdom of God and for some reason or another they leave behind some of the best attributes they had. I was a celebratory sort of a guy. I didn't say celibate, I said celebratory. I was a celebrator. I was a come on, let's party guy. I was a come on, don't just sit over there. And if somebody wasn't having a good time, I wanted everybody to have a good time. I brought that with me into the kingdom of God. I want everybody to have a good time. I want everybody to experience huge things from God. I want everybody to celebrate. I want everybody to shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. I didn't do it to begin with, because to begin with, I thought maybe I should be more toned down. But there came times early on in my relationship with God when that just wasn't going to work. I can remember driving out to the trap chute and making that ground holy. Just shouting. It could have sounded like a trap chute going on, because I was exploding. Praising the Lord. Getting out where, you know, maybe nobody would hear me, maybe everybody would hear me, but for sure God would hear me, because I just had to let it out. And then I realized, well, I can just let that out anywhere, everywhere, all the time, that I ought to be celebratory, celebrating the Lord. The Bible says, celebrate the Lord. But religious ideas, personal preferences, whatever excuse a person might use, has caused people to think, well, it's different with the Lord. Oh, read the Bible. There were times when there were years where 24 hours a day praise and worship went up to God. And these were in the days when the priests with fear and trembling would go into the Holy of Holies. So you got to know them worshipers were serious. And because of that, they experienced times where people couldn't even stand in the presence of the Lord. They were consumed by His presence. We can submit ourselves to the Word of God and say, you know what? God says it. I will not rebel against the Word of God. Or we can say, well, God knows my heart. That could be a scary thing, depending on how your heart is. So, Matthew chapter 5. Says that Jesus saw crowds gathering and he went up to the mountain and he sat down and his disciples gathered with him and he began to teach them, God blesses those that are poor and realize their need for Him. Realizing your need for God. Realizing that you're totally dependent upon God. Realizing that from God all blessings flow. Realizing that the next breath you take is thanks to God. Realizing that He created the heavens and the earth and all of it. And then as you come to realize that, you realize, wow, God, You made it all for me. He made it all for me. And He made it all for you. All of this is for me and you. Oh, how we need Him. Blessed. You know, see, if we don't look at what that means, and we look at just like blessed are the poor in spirit, we think, well, that just means that, you know, the kingdom of heaven is only those who are miserable and downtrodden and, well, God will take care of them anyway. No, that's not what it means. It means blessed are those that realize their need for God. There's a lot of people miserable and poor in spirit that don't realize they need God. You ever notice that? Lots of people. Remember back a little while ago, we said, everybody needs to, they just don't know it. What is that? Everybody needs to praise the Lord. You know, you really could shout me down if you wanted to. You could outpraise, I got the microphone, you could still be louder than me. Everybody needs. But blessed are those who realize the need. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is near you. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is in you. When you realize your need for God, what happens? God supplies all your needs according to His riches and glory. So I am supplied. I am sufficiently supplied. Psalm 23 says, I have everything I need. Or I lack no good thing. Or I shall not want. Now, if you don't look at that and say, wait a minute, I have everything I need, I lack no good thing, you say, I shall not want, and people say, see, you're not supposed to want anything from God. That's true. There's people that think that. Generations of Christians made a badge out of being poor. We're just barely getting by for Jesus. If you have a choice to work for somebody that's paying a high wage or a low wage, who would you take the job with? Oh, bless you, brother. I would take the one that God told me to take. Sounds holy, but it might be stupid. Because in your thinking, you might think, God wouldn't want me to be blessed. God would. I mean, I'm one of those chosen to bear the burden for the world. I'm sorry. I would quit that team. I wouldn't live on that team. I just wouldn't. Now, let me assure you that if God said, Roger, I just want you to struggle for a while. Roger, I really want you to be like Job. Well, you know me, I'd start shouting right away. Because I'd know I'm about to double up. I can take a little pressure to double up. Can't you? But he hasn't told me that. God blesses those that mourn, they'll be comforted. So then we should mourn a lot. No, we should rejoice because we know if we're in mourning, we're going to be comforted. You see, we should look at what God's going to do, not at what's coming at us. God blesses those that are humble. They'll inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. You know, a humble person will humble themselves before the greater person. And who should we humble ourselves before? God. Why? Because it says, humble yourself in the sight of God. He'll exalt you. We can trust Him. That's what He says. Well, anyway, as you go on through those, you come to the place that says that God blesses those that are pure in heart, for they will see God. And when I read that, I wasn't sure about that. The idea of seeing God. Because His presence is a life-changing thing. And when I start to think about that now, I think about, you know, Isaiah, who said, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I thought, this guy's a prophet. But seeing the Lord, being in the Lord's presence, reminded him that though he was a prophet, he wasn't always speaking everything that he should speak. I do get a kick out of that deal with Jacob wrestling with God. I mean, God had to be playing with him. I mean, you know, that's kind of something I can't figure out. John the Revelator fell down as dead in the presence of God. There's something that happens in God's presence. But because that spoke to my heart, it caught me up so short, I thought, okay, God, are you telling me that maybe are the things that I'm withholding, and are there things that would change if I saw you, if I got more deeply into your presence? And then I think, well, I'm into you. You know, I love your presence, Lord, but what would it do? And so I had this, yeah, I want to see the Lord, and this, yeah, well, what would that do? You see, I haven't considered much of seeing the Lord in the here and now. I've considered seeing Him in the there and there. I want to see His glory manifested. I want to see His miracles manifested. I love to hear about what God is doing. But those who see God, those who are pure in heart will see God. Purify my heart. Let it be as gold and precious silver. We sing that song, you know, we go, yeah, yeah. But then God reminded me, He said, you know, Roger, when you first came to know me, you didn't worry about what it was going to be like in the future. You never sat. In fact, you thought it was foolish when someone said, well, boy, look what it cost you to follow God. You said, well, that's crazy. Everything that happened since I came to know God has been plus. It's been a positive. Why would somebody think that you gave up something? He said, so if you weren't concerned about it then, why would that strike a fear in your heart now? And I thought, well, yeah. So maybe that's my head thinking. While my heart is saying, who cares? My head is saying, ooh, that might be something bigger than I could bear. And yet God is saying, hey, look back. Did it bother you then? Has anything bothered you since? And I said, well, I can trust God in this. And then I began to realize, as he was talking about it, that blessed are those that are pure in heart. They'll see God. They'll see God manifesting more. If I really, 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 and I do really, but I really, really need to improve and increase in that, really do want to see God manifested, then purify my heart. I want to see you. I want the eyes of my understanding opened. As we get pure in heart, we see God in this. We see God in that. We see where God could be working even when it looks like nothing good is happening. We expect God. We declare God. We can't imagine doubting God. We're just all for God. Sold out and radical. Seeing God. Seeing God in the darkness. Blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. Those who are set apart unto God. Those who desire God. Those who trust God. Those who just are certain that it's all going to be God. God things are good things. I'll take God things. But as we set our hearts and our focus more and more on God, then we see more and more of God. Yesterday, a guy saw me and said, man. And I knew what he was thinking. But you know what? He didn't say it. I knew he was thinking, because he's always asking me when it's dry about getting him some rain. I said, you can pray. And I know that he wanted to say something to me, but I think that the Spirit of God just quit him from that. But he said, I've never seen it like this. I said, oh yeah, you've seen it like this. It's been hot before. Ah, but this humidity. Hey, he's older than me. I've seen this much humidity before. And of course, I don't mind. I like to go run when it's hot, when I sweat good. I don't know why. Somebody asked me, are you crazy? Yes, I am. But he'd seen it that before. But what was happening was, is all he could focus on was the current misery. I'm sorry. I just can't focus on the current misery. It bothers me. In fact, I refuse to see it as miserable. It's just my way of doing things. But when you put your hope in the Lord, guess what? He lifts you up. So I always have the opportunity to be lifted up. Blessed are those who are pure in heart. When my heart is confused, when my heart is overwhelmed, when my heart's got all these other things going through, because my heart is me, my innermost being. When those things try to attack me, when the enemy comes in like a flood, I know that God raises up a standard against him. You know that too. So we make a choice. We make the choice to rejoice, if we're wise. Because a wise person puts their trust in the Lord. The foolish person focuses on all the garbage and all the things that bother them and all the things that bother other people. I mean, some people just like to rake in a bucket of everybody else's stuff, because then they got something to tell somebody else. Rather than just rejoicing in the Lord, rather than just putting our trust in the Lord, rather than just putting our confidence in God. And sometimes Christians say the stupidest things. You know? Things like, well, that's just not my conviction about that. God doesn't talk anything about convictions. The only thing you can be convicted of is sin. It's not about how you feel about the Word. It's what does the Word say? What does God's Word say? Am I willing to rebel against the Word of God? You see, Christians don't want to look at that a lot of times. They don't want to look at for what it says. They don't want to look at it and say, I've rebelled against the Word of God. They want to say, well, that's just not my conviction. Hey, I've heard lots of things that lots of people said that weren't my conviction, but it was sure capable of convicting me of rebellion against the Word of God. Great day visiting prisoners this week. Remember the guy that I told you about that his countenance was changing? He wanted to make it official and pray with somebody for his entrance into the kingdom of God. Wow, what a burden to bear that I would have to pray with him. I explained to him that, brother, we've talked many times. Your countenance has changed. What we're going to do now is we're just going to pray so that you're certain of what you already know and what I certainly know. And he agreed. And man, he prayed good. Another one wanted to be sure, not about his salvation, but how he could be more holy. And how he could be more committed. And how he could seek God better. I said, I think you are. Because he'll give you the desires of your heart. And they got joy. And they've got confidence. He said, so how do I pray about my sentencing? I said, well, pray for God's favor. I said, the Bible says that, you know, there's a price to pay. There's laws, there's a price to pay. But that doesn't mean you can't have favor. He wasn't desiring a get out of jail free card. He was desiring to be strong no matter what the sentence was, so that he would continue to be a light shining in that darkness. I rejoice as I hear him talk about, he's talking to this guy and he's talking to that guy. He said, that guy's got questions that I can't answer. I just tell him to seek the Lord. I said, you're a genius. Blessed are those who realize their need for God. Blessed are those who aren't concerned about the cost of following God, because what they realize is that there are no costs. There are only benefits. It isn't going to cost me anything. Anything that I put into is an investment into the kingdom of God. As we commit ourselves, as we press ourselves closer, as we purify our hearts, and purifying our hearts is just getting closer to God, then the more we see God, and the more we can expect and should expect to see God. And when we see God, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And when we have something that's trying to block us from seeing God in something, let us command that thing that is between us and the vision that God has, command it to go in Jesus' name so that the light and the glory of God shines through it. God didn't tell us to rejoice in the Lord because there's nothing to rejoice in. He told us to rejoice in the Lord because there's abundantly more to rejoice in than you can even imagine. So just go for it. Command the blessing. Command the blessing on others. Command the blessing on yourself. Command the presence of God. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. He's never far. We don't say those things to get him to come. We say those things to get ourselves to be aware of, hey, this is a good idea. And God doesn't mind that. But don't think that God thinks it's okay for you to rebel against his word. Don't think that he just says, oh, you poor thing. He says, arise and shine, for the light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. You see, we, in our humanness, we think that it's compassionate to soothe people deeper into their hole. But in the Spirit, we know that real compassion just lifts them up out. Peter, when he said, "I don't have any silver or gold, but what I got, I give to you. Get up and walk." Grabbed his hand. He didn't go, "No, you poor thing. Here, let me massage your ankles a little bit. You know, you haven't ever walked before, so you're gonna, you know, you're gonna need a little bit of help. This isn't something that's gonna happen just overnight. But you know, given a little time, and you know, if you can find somebody that'll just encourage you, that the man of God told you, you know, you should get up. You know, it'll be." Now, Peter didn't say anything like that. Peter was a little too bold for that. Peter wasn't going to give it a chance not to work. Peter was going to get it working. That's why what we do when we put off the Word of God is we give it a chance not to work. Amen. We give the enemy an opportunity to choke it off, discourage us, and push us away. I don't know about you, but I just don't have any desire to give him a space any longer. I have a desire to not be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good, the good of God's Word. I have a desire to see God. I have a desire to see God manifested. His health when someone's sick. His power when somebody's weak. His provision when someone's poor. To see him manifest. Just like our brother in Kenya. He saw that was God manifesting. Wouldn't you love to put in 80 hours to pay for a heart bypass surgery? I'd really rather not have the heart bypass surgery personally. But can you imagine that? God working that out? There's many, many testimonies of bills being written off of all kinds of things that God can do. We put our hope in God. And then we need to give Him praise for it. God does amazing things sometimes, and the first thing that happens when something else comes up is we go, "Oh man, not again," instead of, "Whoa, praise God, this is nothing, He did this before." Israel, man, the Bible is full of Israel being stupid. Forgetting about God. But they held on to the old stories, and after long enough of being miserable, they'd say, "Hey, God did this then. Praise God for His goodness and His mercy endures forever. When we cried to the Lord, He lifted us up." So I can look at them and I can say, "Hey, I might have been thinking the way they are sometimes. But I'm going to grab a hold of the last part that says, hey, we cried to the Lord and He delivered us. We cried to the Lord and He brought us out. We cried to the Lord and He healed us. We cried to the Lord and He provided for us. We cried to the Lord and He lifted us up. God, they cried and You answered. I'll cry and You'll answer. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are you when your heart and my heart, when our hearts are so set on the truth of God's Word, and we are so confident that only that will work, and we have purified our heart to the point where we will not accept anything less than the Word of God, we'll see God. It's true. And that should excite us just a tiny bit. That should excite us a whole bunch. A whole bunch. If we don't get excited about God, I'm sorry, I don't think we believe God at all. We might believe that He exists. But when we realize what His existence brings with it, we should be a pretty victorious bunch. The body of Christ should be one voice saying, "Man, our God reigns. Our God reigns. Oh, the economy is falling apart. Our God reigns. Oh, man, the United States is going bankrupt. God isn't. Oh, man. Oh, my. This will just never work out. Absolutely, it will not. If that's how you believe, so you shall have it. My God can. Our God is. Those who would please God must first believe that He is. He is everything that He says He is. Able to do everything that He says that He will do. Willing to call upon Him to do just what He says. Willing to put their approval on what He has said. Paul said, I believe God. That's a good thing to do, you know. To believe God. You can believe, we can believe what people say, we can believe what goes on around us, or we can believe God. We can enter into the victory, or we can enter into the defeat. We can pedal whichever bike we want to pedal. Joshua said it. You choose this day whom you'll serve. You choose what you want, victory or defeat. You choose. You choose the blessings that Bernie prayed. You choose the declaration that Mary made. Or you choose to leave and say, well, I went to church. Now, real life begins when I step out these doors. As for me and my house, we're going to choose the Lord. Wayne, would you come close in prayer, please?